you choose a completely table. Yeah. So it's a completely different discussion.
See,
it's one way of looking at basically just the cost part, but
exactly.
You don't focus just on the cost part, you look at the evolution. Basically, the way, other way to think of it is why we all need to evolve, and we keep on discussing this pretty much every day. There is a mainframe practice today in every pretty much lot of companies. There are people who are doing mainframe. But do you think, yes, there are new people also sometimes join mainframe, but rest of all us have not joined mainframe? And what? Why is that?
There are some APIs we provide. Earlier, we used to call a terminal server to point out something like that.
Yes.
We consumed that mainframe through APIs.
APIs.
We integrated our lines.
Yes.
So we are evaluated.
Yes.
So there is a pros and cons. So we make.
But not everybody, not every new project in a startup, or it's not on a mainframe, isn't it?
Exactly.
The reason is why we have all evolved, because it's not about, it's not cool, or it's an old technology, or it's an expensive technology, extremely expensive technology. But the main problem is basically none of us are going to get, first of all, I think it's a blessing that we are in software industry, where unlike a civil or a mechanical industry, things are changing pretty much every day. But there is a challenge also for us to adapt to these changes.
Yeah.
Every second day you will hear a JavaScript framework, every third day you will hear a new database term, and every fourth day you will hear a new fortunately for Microsoft people, we have made it very simple.
Exactly.
We release every year, but only with cloud, what is happening is, within our team itself, it's very challenging to follow everything on what is happening on Azure. Because it's very vast now. It is very bigger than all of us. So the ideal way is to find out what you want and focus on the set of things. Costs are only going to come drastically down. Very drastically down. You need to find out ways. So there are companies who shut down the machines. There are companies who only use table storage. There are companies who only use basically blobs to store everything because they want to bring down the cost. There are various ways to discuss cost. But
exactly.
Today, let's focus
so
on
what. So what? I would just take care of this thing. I think so. That's a business conversation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So business conversations, especially with the CFOs or the CMOs, I think so. We need to have that conversation. But you and me as developers or architects of a database or a design person. Our thought process of unlearning is totally a different plane. I think so. See, end of the day, think about it. For you, the EMI has to be paid, and it doesn't matter if today it's Angular and tomorrow it's called Peak. I don't care, right? Give me that, okay?
We today, call ourselves janitors of MTC.
Exactly.
Actually, I put my Twitter handle as Mestri at MCC. But end of the day, if you ask me to sweep the floor, I'll sweep the floor.
I'll do that, okay?
Doesn't matter.
Let's be clear. See, customer is king, okay? Customer
no,
is
no,
king.
No, there are a lot of people who do put a lot of titles. We cannot. We don't want to. We just will work. If you have a problem, we'll solve it.
That's
what our customers are going to do.
Because there is still the mainframe. There are some places still they are using.
Yeah. No,
there are a lot of places.
HDFC bought 3 mainframes last year. I can tell you that.
And also, there are some cases. No,
nobody is recording this talk, no?
The existing enterprise.
Who in there recording it?
They are recording it. I think we need to find a way to destroy it.
There are some enterprise applications available right now.
Yeah.
May not be converted to the Azure right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a deep right. No, that is what my thought. Post discussion with people as well as the post experience. So we need to have a lot of deep drive to design, to correct methodology of designing.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly.
Don't think of yourself as basically newcomers to this industry.
All of you have been in this
industry for 20, 15, 10 years. You know how to solve problems.
That's it.
This is just a different tool.
That's all it is.
You have
all the information. You ask the question. So every time you ask cost question.
You ask why.
Or what.
That's it.
That's
as simple as that.
I think you'll get pretty much every answer. Don't worry about this. It's just a facade on a lot of things.
Exactly. Exactly.
Is it possible to communicate to you?
We are the most approachable people inside Microsoft. Okay, so that's the easiest thing that you're going to get. Okay,
yeah.
Okay. So whenever I talk about customers, right? It's a three-sided equilateral triangle you need. Okay, this is how I tell our customers. What is this three sides? First is people, second is process, third is technology. Okay, you pick two. The third is decided by me. Okay, you pick two. So you say that. I want to use Angular. I say, okay, you decided, fine. This is my process that I'm going to do. I'll say, okay. Then I'll say, people have to work like this now. So now you cannot ask me that I need the same user interface, I need this thick client. You don't decide that. Then I say, okay, now you pick two. I say, okay, these are my people, they want it like this. Oh, now you do only VB.NET, don't come here. Because you asked for it. You decide the process. This is how your people don't want to change. I will decide the third one. Okay? Now, mujhe, you cannot, the third line is completely decided by me. Now, yes, exactly. As application, this is a very, okay, I'll give you a very simple example. How many of you write database related or store dates in your application? All of you? All of you have a front end where you'll show it. All of you have a front end where the front end can be from different regions. Right? Yes? How do you store it in your database? Is everybody storing it in UTC? Then are you doing any sorts of date conversions when you're doing a comparison? Why? You stored it in UTC, you're passing it in UTC, then why are you doing date comparison and convert of this thing to 101 to 121 into whatever you want to call it? And I've seen the worst case scenarios. If you're not storing it in UTC and if you're storing it in an offset, that's even more dangerous. Now you say that, oh, that was okay, plus 10 and a half hours. Okay, that is Australian. This is plus 5 and a half hours. This is India. And then like 545. Guys, I say, this is your database. Database you stick to either a GMT or an UTC, you stick onto it. And the worst case scenarios where all of you will laugh within yourself is that you will also store it as varchars and strings.
Or actually the worst is...
All of us have done this.
No, my worst case is this. So how many people use SQL Azure today?
Oh, that's the other extreme. Yeah. Let's come now.
So in SQL Azure, if you store a date and use the default SQL Azure, what is the date they will show?
Yes.
Which one they show? Of the server in the?
Server of the region.
Region, isn't it? So if you don't do this conversion, what will happen?
What will happen?
Half of the people who migrated, or actually pretty much a lot of people, most of them have never converted.
Then data will be lost.
The data, no, it's
not
wrong.
A data loss. It's no, the wrong data. Wrong. I'll tell you what.
Reports are wrong. Everything
exactly.
Is wrong.
Interpret as a loss, but yeah. It's not in the data.
So here's the deal. The worst deal is that you go and store your data in Singapore data center, and then I go ahead and say that, hey, I'm going to do a geo replication, which I'll be off a data center, which is somewhere else, and then I will do read-only queries because I have a region-specific queries that are coming from there. Now, whose date time are you going to show? The place where I'm storing, space where I've replicated, and then the reporting I have. Now, you see, here's the deal. You standardize your application. You tell that what you want to see in the UI is a facade. Okay? So that's why you use in your UI culture and then figure it out where you are, and then you will just go do the masking at the UI layer but not at the database layer. Database layer is yours. You will decide. So please, these are fundamental principles. I think have we changed it for years? We have not changed it. But we have only complicated it. Okay. Earlier it was within your own data center, you know, yeah, Chennai mein hai, toh kya hoga? I know it. I installed it. I know what a collation is. I know everything about it. Now the only thing is, now I've taken that in, now I cannot go and then put that my finger in that power and switch it off. That is the only thing that I have got. But I have a portal where I can do that. It's only facades have changed, concepts don't change. So let's start with a very simple thing. What is your data ingestion platforms that you're having? How do you bring data into Azure? And what are your thought process around what would you do for using data ingestion? How do you dump data? How do you play with files? How do you have multiple sources? What do you do? What do you do? Since you guys are not asking, we are going to ask you. Sir Mumbai, that is the. How do
okay,
you pull?
Cool. Okay.
Pull.
Like BCP?
Do a BCP?
Things, bulk data, if it is there, like you need to.
Pull, okay, let's have pull.
And like SISS, data interpretation.
Okay.
BCP, SSIS, okay.
And like data syncing is there, I think SQL sync.
How many of you are using it?
I don't use it, I heard
of it. Heard about it. How many have heard
don't
about
use it?
Yeah, that's the whole point. The whole point why we are asking you is that. Okay, please don't use it. Okay, you don't have to use it. Okay.
At least for now till they come out with this.
Just hold on to it. We would say that just sync is a different ballgame. You're telling everything from a database.
Yes.
I would look at, take one level of abstraction. Files, images, processes,
events,
processing. What all do you do? What is your ingestion engine for you today? If you're in the cloud. Event hubs.
Event hub, what is event hub? I don't know that. Yeah. What is
tell
that?
Tell us.
File.
Oh, fine. If I want to manage the events, like I can...
What is event hub?
It's a... Okay. Service bus.
Service bus, okay.
Oh, there's a service bus also, right?
No.
So what is the service bus then?
Assume service bus.
Yes.
Service hub, okay. I should call it service bus.
Which you decide, you want event hub or you want service bus?
I'm just saying.
You want
event hub is part of service bus.
Event hub is part of the service bus. Okay.
And service bus is also part of the?
Sorry. Based on the question only, I can correct myself.
So we are asking, what is event hub? Very
event
simple.
Hub is one of the provision to manage the data. Example, queuing mechanism is that we have a storage, there is a storage queue.
Sure.
Similarly,
okay.
Azure service bus has a provision as a queue. That queue is relevant of MSM queue. It's imitate the MSM queue feature.
Fair enough.
Mean that.
Similarly, fair enough. Hold on. You didn't tell me what event hub is. You told me Azure Queue.
No.
You told me.
No, I think it's okay.
But it's a good way of bringing out all the facades.
What
that
else?
Are
what else?
There. What else is there?
Streaming like events.
Okay.
Notification of data.
Good. Streaming of data. High throughput streaming data.
Okay. High, low. I'll put both of them.
Okay. And okay.
Okay. High and low. Okay.
When the rate of producing data and the consumer is not able to match up with that rate, at that time we have to isolate these two, producer and consumer.
Okay.
So then we introduce a queuing concept.
Okay, queue also.
Queuing is a part of.
Awesome.
Okay, queue also.
Awesome.
Some form of unstructured data.
Some.
Yes, great.
Okay.
Okay, so file, is it a file type or is it a, what is it? Is it a CSV?
Exactly.
Is it a
next
CSV?
Question.
Is it, what is it?
All of you have heard about this, right? All of you have heard about all this?
Twitter feed. So
are we clear about when do we use what?
Yeah.
Freedom of choice, freedom from choice. Mark Hill. Right, today morning?
Yes.
I'm giving a lot of choices,
yes.
Yes? Right? I can confuse you even more now. Right? No?
No,
that's fine. No, sir, the best part of it is that we have enough documentation there, and that's the reason we have sessions where we have to come and demystify again, right? Because we have confused you even in the documentation now, right? Now we said a queue, and then you said, okay, right, okay, which one do I go? Go for the storage queue or do I go for the normal queue? Okay, right. Okay. Then I said, I started with the event hub, and suddenly service bus comes in the middle. And then service bus is part of the event hub. And then he says, okay, right, I use it for low latency, high throughput ingestion platform. And then and nobody talked about Data Factory, poor guy. Yeah.
No, he has talked about SSS, no?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, SSS. Oh, somebody has talked about SSS.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Anyone used anything else apart from this on open source? Just getting a feeler of it also.
For anything?
Anything else?
Kinesis.
Open source, sorry?
Kinesis. You use Kinesis?
Kinesis, who did it?
Not guy, go, no, nobody allowed.
Nobody here, nobody's here.
No, just, okay.
Kinesis is fine.
So Kinesis, I'll say,
we'll
streaming,
just write it.
I'll just say.
Because
Kinesis.
That comes as part of your streaming still, so we'll just have it.
Kinesis, okay. Or
anything
data flow.
Else? Somebody else was telling.
Yeah.
RabbitMQ.
Ah, that is
now
a good one.
Coming. Now
RabbitMQ without the persistence. Or MQ0.
Zero MQ also.
Yes,
yes.
Exactly, yeah. Who cares about persistence? It's his problem. So it's okay.
No, based on the application.
No, of course, I'm just joking. All this is basically
see,
just.
The idea
don't take it, it's the last session.
See,
you have to relax.
We are just relaxing it out. Now there are multiple things to look at it, okay? If you have, I mean, how many of you have heard everything?
I heard all the words.
No, the reason why we are doing this is very simple. Is to say that, okay, the real freedom of choice and freedom from choice is the deal here. It's not that this is, I'll just go ahead and say that, okay, ingestion, I'm a staunch SQL guy. I mean, I haven't seen anybody talk about Kafka or anything else on that. Nobody has talked about it, right? No? You've done? No? Storm and Kafka, anyone?
Storm, okay.
Storm, yeah, wonderful.
No, Kafka, okay. Yeah.
Ah,
that is for insight. We'll come to that later, yeah. Kafka, okay.
Kafka. Insight, okay.
Finagle,
wonderful.
Anybody? Finagle? No?
Finagle? No.
Nothing.
So, the idea over here is very simple. Why do we want to? What do we want to do is very simple. We want to just tell you that, hey, your choices are plenty. I mean, see, I mean, who said that only JavaScript can confuse you? We can also confuse you. We also have enough APIs to go out and play with, okay? And then the best part of it is, you take everything in and say, okay, I have a REST API on top of it, I have a Node.js API on top of it, I have a C++ API, I have a C# API, I'll do, okay, you like it. We'll give you all, everything is API-fied, okay? API-fied. I mean, see, dekho, yaar, I mean, like, everybody says SASSified. I mean, I want to say something different, okay, right? So I'll say, I'll have API-fied, okay? better than Beja Fry. Okay, so that's the whole idea is that okay, our options are far too many. Okay, but our imperatives are always if you really look at it at a very core level, are very basic. Yeah, only these many. I mean, if you had attended today morning's session of mine, I fundamentally said very, very clearly, irrespective of where you are, you exactly go and store it someplace. That's how it is. And irrespective of what application you have done, and I can guess sitting here, all your applications are doing only one thing. All your applications are doing only CRUD operations.
Yes. Nothing is more than that.
And that I've been doing for 20 years now. Right? We haven't changed. Only thing is that the facade has changed. And now we make it much more. They say that, okay, I'm so glad to see a lot of things that come out of this. Sync is one. Data dumping. I think so. This is one of the things that I think so a lot of customers. Today after my session, I think so a lot of people came back and said, how do I dump data on top of storage? I think so. Is it always risk based that I have to keep on going on top of this? Is that the way to do it? How do I transfer large amount of data? I say that okay. Transferring large amount of data is one side of the equation. But are you thinking about processing of your data? Do I just push the data and then forget it?
No, we need to have process until it's meaningless.
No, more than process, I need to have it in a meaningful form.
Correct.
Okay, it's just data. Data has to get transformed to information. I know. One of the ladies came and post my session and said that hey, we have this lot of these imaging that comes in that comes out of healthcare. And then what I do is that after I get this radiology image, I have to process it because when the next time the doctor sees it on a screen, I need to give him snapshots. How do I do it? What would I do for that? First question, how do I push my radiology data to the cloud? That's my first problem statement. The second problem statement, how do I give him as a visual cue on top of this? That's my second problem statement. How do you do it? How do you do it? IoT? Is it really IoT? How many attended Jani's session? Jani's session? Okay. Except Raj. Okay.
Huh? You are discounted.
Okay, you're.
That's the guy who's talking about Docker.
Docker.
Cannot. No, no IoT.
Talk about microservices, guys. Okay, that's the guy that you can talk about. Okay. But. See, it's such a beautiful thing. We started with client server, three tier, then end tier, and then you go about and talk about no tier, and then you talk about container tier, and then now you say, I don't care where you run. Right?
No, you talk about IoT, which is actually sending data only, which is as same as whatever we have been doing all these years, only the term has changed. Exactly. I'll give another example of another customer. All IoT, should it use streaming? Right? It should use heavy analytics. It should stream data very fast. But the guy, I don't think, Algo Engines guys are here. I don't see them.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're not here. He manages basically wind turbines, 650 of them. About 100 of them he manages on Azure platform. What platform for storage of data do you think he uses for UX, everything? Ingestion, storage, everything.
And each wind turbine gives you what some 20?
200 data points per second.
Per wind turbine. And then you have 100 wind turbines.
Yeah, right now he's doing 100, but he's
got a large scale.
Yeah, large scale. What do you think he uses?
This
is as good as IoT, no? There are hundreds. So what should he use? Should he use our platform? Should he use somebody? What do you think he uses?
What does he want to do with it?
Yes, so that's a good question. His guys, his basically, the customers are basically power guys. The guys who are basically distributing power. They want to know wind turbine is up or not, whether wind turbine is producing electricity or not, whether it is down from particular level or not.
They don't need historical
array. Right. Okay. Array?
Good.
Sorry? Array?
Array.
What is that data structure? No. We are not in the algorithms class. So that's a good thing.
Do they want historical data or not?
So you tell me. Should they need the historical data? Because big data, no?
They don't need any. No, my question is that.
Yeah.
Do you want to store the data? Do they want to do analytics on it in real time or, you know, post?
Yeah. So what do you think? Yeah, so what do you think they will do? What should they do from your friend? Because it's a high, let's think of the all the hot words and hot this thing.
No?
So let's think.
My question is, what does he want?
He does not, right now. So I'll tell you what he uses. He uses SQL Azure. That too standard, not even premium. not even premium. Yeah, exactly. So what does he do? He has installed a small box on each of these places, on each of these wind turbines. He aggregates the data for last 10 minutes. He only sends aggregated data. He said, his customer is basically saying he only needs last 10 minutes of SLA. He does not need anything else. Customer or the consultants or VCs, everybody else says, you should store all the big data. Because then we can sell more data, isn't it? You can do all the exciting projects around it. He said, customer said, why do I need anything more than that? I don't care about, I know when the electricity is going to go up. I know what is happening. I just need to know whether the machine is up, whether the turbine is producing, which direction it is facing at the most. Okay? He uses SQL Azure. He does not pay us more than, actually he pays very less. So a lot of people are, he uses standard, no? So you can think of. So he pays very less. He uses basically very small machine to collect the data also. But that's where you should think of. It nuts, when you want to save the cost, you have to be pragmatic. You have to keep asking. But sometimes your customer, the guy who's ready to pay you money, he may not be very kind. He may be influenced by a lot of advisors and a lot of VCs, a lot of Gartner reports and other kind of things. You should do IoT. You should do big data. Then he's not solving his actual problem, which is basically whether my wind turbine is generating power at given point of time or not. So right storage is very important.
Exactly.
So there is no point in, we will never, so it's a very good thing, we should talk to you. Because that's what we do to customers. We always ask, you don't have to spend so much, you don't have to plan for that ultimate world at any point of time. Let's think of today. Yes, there is a goal that we need to reach. Let's focus on today, let's solve today's problems. Then we will go and solve the big data,
exactly.
IoT.
Yeah.
Because IoT people have been, so this person has been doing IoT for last 3.5 years, before the term IoT was coined.
So my question, I'm concerned, my question is, how often does the customer actually listen?
Why?
Every time. For last
every
9 years?
Every single time. No. Every single time. See,
no, you have to earn the trust.
Exactly.
The way, if you want to sell yourself, so it's basically about trust, isn't it? End of the day, it's about trust. If you are, first solve the problem for the customer. Don't sell anything else around it. Solve the problem, and this will become a consulting session, but anyway, solve the problem and everything, the customer is ready to pay. And trust me, customers pay.
Exactly.
I am paying still my EMI, so I can tell you that it works. It has worked for some time.
As we always say, I mean, when me, I think, so whenever we are in front of customers, we generally say that every big data question that comes up in front of us contains actually no data behind the scenes. Okay? That's what the reality is. We ask, okay, right. The big data is of, see, you are having a solution which is just trying to find a problem. Okay? Everybody wants to do big data. I say, okay, you do big data, but what do you want to do with it? Okay? And then they come back and say, oh no, I thought I have 1 terabyte. So? No, I want to do this. So? I mean, like, you keep on asking that. And then
not in such a rude manner, but.
Exactly, in a lovable fashion. Okay,
so you no, with some people, like, we are rude within ourselves, yeah. But yeah,
but,
that's okay.
But you got to ask that. You got to keep on probing it. Because end of the day, you need to find the root of the problem. Okay? You want to make the wind turbines functioning or not in a 10-minute span. That is your requirement. Now, let us figure out, is IoT, big data, that thing streaming? We'll figure that out. But let's find the problem. Because end of the day, that's what it is. Okay? And all these are avenues of implementation. These are not, nothing is written on stone. So I will not go ahead and just directly go ahead and just evangelize you saying that, oh, okay, let's go ahead and do it on a blog. Let's go ahead and do it on this. We will not do that. And we shouldn't. We should be pragmatic about it. But I'm telling you, if you're a consultant, you're lucky. Okay? Because you get a chance to talk about it. But most probably, a lot of times, it gets pushed down from your customers. And in a business, it becomes a very, very tough decision to tell. But you got to earn that trust. You got to push that. I mean, am I using the right? I mean, say, end of the day, that's what it is. Am I using the problem?
Yeah. So let's focus on the set of things. If you want to dump data today to us, the best way is FedEx is faster than any connection and cheaper. Import disks. If you want to send large amount of data.
Huge.
Very huge. It works. In India, when we'll have the data center, that will also work. Only one issue. Can somebody point out the issue with this?
What is that?
It is a BitLocker.
BitLocker.
Don't worry about it. BitLocker. It's your key.
It's your key.
Think of, if you have Linux-based data, right now you cannot send it in Linux. You have to have Windows data. It is NTFS only. That's the only problem. So this was, I was meeting with MVP set of, this was another set of things I wanted to tell. So if you have data in that format, you need to convert to NTFS, dump disks, send it to us. Yeah. It will, there, your, this looks very shady, huh?
we are going to support it.
But right now, I'm saying, right now. It's not by intention or something. It's basically just by design. The guys who designed, they first said, let's serve our customers. And once over, we get a lot of demand. It's all about, they also generating money now. So if you ask, say, how will this, the people who are implementing this get money? They have to show they are generating money. If there are only 10 people sending disks, he will not get a headcount to implement the Linux part of it. It's very tough, and it looks very, but it's as tough as you guys face every day.
Physically sending the desk?
Yes.
Physically,
so there is a service.
It's a service.
You can send a disk, it will be attached to your storage account, you will send it encrypted, we'll upload it, then you start extracting from it. Okay, that's the fastest. Second fastest, what is the other way? So import disk is great, lot of data and everything. What other way? Storage is your place. Every data has to go to our storage account. Storage is the cheapest. Any data that you don't need, dump in storage account. Okay? Is there any cheap level here or there or some? There is no cheap level here and there. Blob allows random read and write. Tape, there is another one called as page, which can go up to 200 GB. So that is also faster than most of the other things. If you want fast access, read and write, use page blob and dump data there. You can store even the VHDs there. Actually, some of our VHDs do get stored there. Table is the poor man's NoSQL. Yeah, it's basically partition key, row key, and the value.
Yeah.
It is designed for massive throughput, but it is not designed for query, very specific queries, updates. It's not greatly designed for that.
Yeah.
Queue, as he said, we have queues, our own queues. What we tell every customer, when you use any of these things, when you interface with them in the code, when you interact with this code, use interfaces. Why do I even say that? Don't directly bind to our libraries.
Any library.
So later on you can change. Yes. So you can change. I think you must have talked about this, hopefully.
Yes.
So change it. Whether on-premise or otherwise, you can change it. Okay. Second, third thing is basically SQL Azure. Do you want to talk about SQL Azure? How do you want to basically do that?
So, I mean, just reiterating exactly.
Because for six years we have been doing migration. So they same thing. So we basically exchange.
So a lot of SQL Azure from a point of view, I think. So one is a lot of people ask about parity of SQL with their on-premise, and then they're looking at a lift and shift sort of a scenario that comes in. Okay, it's a fair call. I mean, I give all respects that it is SQL behind the scenes. Especially the V12, if people have not evaluated V12, I think so. Did Madan talk about it yesterday? About the V12 or something? Okay, so there is a lot of parity gaps that were there. I think so. We have plugged it in. I think a lot of things are getting better in the V12 release. It's going to get even more better. Okay, having said that, you've got to be very cognizant about the fact the cost benefits that you're going to cost, disparity that you're going to get with a standard storage versus how a SQL Azure SQL Azure DB will actually do. You'll have to start evaluating on a case-to-case basis on, do you want to do it as an as-is migration, or do you want to re-architect your application, start using the storage capabilities? Okay, so it's very important for you to start looking at it from that direction. That's point one. Second, most of our applications are written very chatty in nature, right? We because it's assumed, because my web server is sitting in the same rack as where my database server is sitting, and they're connected by the same switch. I've taken it for granted within my organization. That's how I've done with my coding. None of the developers, I think so, when we developed it first time, we never were so cognizant of the fact how many round trips do I make between my different layers. Did we ever think about it? We never thought about it. I say that now you have to be much more prudent about the fact that you have to be much more careful, because it's not about data ingress that they're worried about. Data out is what you're worried about. How many are big fans of Link and other things, right? All of us, right? Have done it in some shape and form, right? If you have attended our previous sessions, that's what we do. And a lot of people talk about it, and then the moment you're bringing data in your middle tier and starting to do all your filtration, you're asking for trouble. Okay, because that is not data-centric queries that you're building. Because you do not percolate the filter, especially the filter condition, down to the node where the data resides. I'm filtering it at a much more higher abstraction layer, wherein I'm going to increase my memory footprint of my web servers or my application servers that I have built on. I'm not going to get scalability over there because I'm sitting on top of IIS. at some point in time, and then I will have a thread exhaustion just because of the fact that I'm doing a lot of this memory operations. Boy, you're paying it to us. We are happy.
But actually, whoever the vendor is,
we are happy, right? We'll be happy about it. But it's about, that's what, the unlearning part that we are talking about, this is the unlearning part. We go ahead and say, now I'm going to be very strict. So, because we know customers wherein their login page was making 23 calls, right? Is that what it is? Yeah, it was making 23 calls. I said, it's a goddamn login page. How can you make 23 round trips to your bag? I mean, like whatever layer that you're talking about. It cannot happen this way. I mean, most of us have that in us. We just take it for granted in a lot of ways. Building intranet-based applications, for cloud-centric applications, you got to demold yourself and see how many times I hop between my layers, how much of data that I'm pushing across layers. I love the fact of multi-tiers, but think about it: the effort and overhead I'm going getting on top of marshalling and serializing and deserializing, is it outweighing the amount of, can I get small machines and scale out rather than get one big machine just to serve this many requests? Who's your ball game here? Where do you want to pay it?
Yeah. So just to this thing. SQL Azure, can you import the data from SQL Server today?
Today?
Can you store?
Can I take a
on premise? Can I restore it?
Can I restore it?
To Azure. SQL
Azure.
Azure.
DB.
I'm saying SQL Azure.
Azure DB, not infrastructure as a service. Platform as a service. SQL Azure means it's a platform as a service.
Can we restore? Yes. Whoever said yes doesn't get
the Sachin.
You need to check schema check and all those stuff.
How can you import data from your on-premise?
See, Sachin is still waiting.
SQL Azure DB.
I guess there is a tool which is available for where we have to use the SQL database on-premise and you have to import it such
that it should fit.
Redgate
offers.
Redgate's offer. That's a good question.
That's a good one on Redgate. But actually,
by default, SQL Server data, can it be, whatever backup do you take, if can you restore it on SQL Azure? SQL Azure, the SQL Azure
today?
Service. No, today no. Okay?
Today no. So all your options that you talked about, I think, so export, import, DAC pack that you're doing, or if you're doing an SSIS on top of it with the data migration, all those are available for you.
Yes.
But not, please do not use sync.
Not till we are alive.
Okay, not till.
Or it becomes such a cool thing that.
Yeah. Please don't use data sync. Yeah. Okay? You can use all the other packs. You use the data packs or you use SSIS packages. You use any
not
other
the, yeah. The other thing is, when you do that, the simplest thing, I think, what we have found out because of our experience, when you take the backup, whatever backup it is, or it is data dump, if it is just a bunch of scripts, you generate through the scripts the whole data. Dump into an Azure storage block, create a SQL Server VM, attach either the backup or restore the database. From there, run an SSIS, that will be faster. Don't try to
push from on-premise,
ever. It does not work. You will.
Not your express route?
Express route is, I said, costly connection. I'm very explicit about it. Do not use.
No, it's an option.
It's an option.
It's still an option. See, let's be clear about it. It's still an option that you have. It's a viable option if you're ready to pay Microsoft.
Or any other vendor.
Or any other vendor, for that matter of fact.
Yeah.
It is easy for you to do it. But what we are telling is, now think about it. You need repeatability. You need, how do you do a restart? How can I do it? Or how can I run it as a background process? Only way, remember, I think so in morning session, if we had, I said, you do an asynchronous process at the server side. I didn't say it on the client side, right? When you do it via SSIS, as Govind was talking about, from the client side, now think about it. Your client side runs it as a TDS packet. TDS packets are 4K packets. Every 4K packets that get into the HTTP stream has to get an acknowledgement packet, which means that if you're doing a 1 GB of database, break down into 4K packets, into two, then look at it. You will be paying a huge cost. But you do a zip of it, as he said, like a backup. Take it, move on, move your backup to cloud. You have backup to URL. I don't know how many of you have seen that capability. Take a small VM, restore it on top of your
small VM.
Okay.
Just because your database was running on 32 cores, for backup purposes and restore purposes, you don't need a big issue.
So get a small VM, get that restored on that, and then you start your SSIS package on. You can get now VMs with a larger memory rather than going for a CPU bound, because they are not CPU bound. All SSIS or any backup activity is more of a memory bound. So you get advantages there. I mean, see, idea. Think about it. I mean, see, it's a cost-saving methodology. It's just a process. Again, yeah. Think about it. We are just giving you a process. Yeah. How do you go about doing a data ingestion?
The custom OS CPMQ is basically anything you want to run. We don't offer today a RabbitMQ hosted service. You want to run, install your OS, run it, take it. You are interested in your own CP, use it. There is absolutely no issue. There is one more thing there, which is basically Event Hub. Event Hub, I think many of you mentioned something about it. But end of the day, it is designed for bunch of streaming events. Okay, the way it works is very simple. A lot of stuff is coming. If you want to ingest it, get an army of people standing in front. I handle, basically a lot of calls coming to basically call center, or basically a lot of calls coming to telephone carrier. So a bunch of us are standing. I will take Maharashtra data, he will take Karnataka data, somebody else will take some other data. So we are partitioning, and that has the responsibility of picking up the data and doing the processing at his own thing. Now, how is it different from queue? Don't ask me all this philosophy. Definition of queue and everything changes. Only thing is, it is a hosted service. You do not have to pay for management of that. Otherwise, as he rightly said, he mentioned one thing, Kafka. Like Kafka, there are a bunch of other solutions. Kafka runs for LinkedIn. They ingest a lot of stuff. A lot of other guys, you also use Kafka to ingest a lot of logs, a lot of stuff. Works very well. But you need to manage availability. You need to manage uptime. It's not a simple thing. But you want to learn and everything, that's great. That's completely okay. Custom OS, job security. That one, fast agility, next project. That's the way I look at it. Okay.
So,
yeah, go ahead.
That's it.
I have same 15 environment for my application. The one, the two, the three, the SIT1, SIT2, SIT3. All has, you know, say 1 terabyte of database size, right? I don't be every time using these environment, because there are parallel development going ongoing. So I may use an environment, may not use an environment. So in this case, how do you suggest that I, upload these databases in these many environments? Mm-hmm. What would be the costs incurred on this?
Okay, let's understand this. One of the most important things, irrespective of which environment it is, at least at MTC, we are always of the fact that you need to have a replica of your production environment and extrapolate it for 5 years down the lane. That's the best way of doing it. Because end of the day, this is what I have seen. I think so all of us have gone through this. If you understand what his question is, I have different environments, I have 5 terabytes of things that I want to work with, and I want to see how the environments can be built. That's the whole point. Okay. So the deal over here is very simple. At MTC, we say that you need to have your production replica. Either you obfuscate it and keep it so that your development team also has got the same experience of what a production happens. For the only fundamental fact that you will always see within organizations, people say that it works on my machine, but I don't know what you're doing in testing. Because it always breaks on the testing cycle, right? Why is it happening? First, whenever he wrote the code, he wrote it on a 5 GB database. You get into the UAT, it's on 15
GB.
We have seen really well. I mean, I've been kind on that, okay? Yeah. So when you get into the UAT, it's slightly big. But when it gets into the production, it's like humongously large. And then what happens is that your code is not optimized for that. And your data skews really kill you. Your data skews actually kill the way in which you actually go out and work. So it's very important for you to understand that you have a realistic environment. That's point one. Second, now from a query pattern point of view, if you're really looking at it, I have multiple options. Now again, there's no one size fits all. If it's going to be SQL, I can give you for structured data, it's much more easier. Doesn't matter if you work on SQL or you work on Oracle or Azure, it doesn't matter to us. Either use a replication scale out mechanism or use a copy only mechanism. You have both the mechanisms available with you. That is out of the box from SQL or from any other method. So you do a standard backup to a URL, or do it to a blob, keep the blobs as part of your history. Now, most important thing that we have seen that not most of the customers, you need to understand one thing. Storage is cheap, all of us understand that, right? Use, if you want, your backups are your wonderful places to keep your backups is Azure. With a huge retention, right? Think about it. Think about the amount of time that you're spending on top of your tapes, moving them from different locations, and then trying to restore it onto a DR site. I think so. I'm paying too much for the overhead of management and everything is far too much for me over there. So the best place for me is that if I'm running some sort of a production, and if you have, you can use Azure as your DR site if you would want. I think so. That's something that in today's keynote also, I think so, Karan did talk about it, right? Okay. It's not only about DR as a DR site Azure, but also for your application DR you can use it. SQL can be extended on top of Azure to actually do a DR site. Now, I would take it to the next level and say that, hey, now take the backup directly from there. Now, I'm much more, it's going to be a viable option for me than to take a backup here and then push it down to the wire channel there. Anyway, I'm replicating. Because I'm replicating as part of my DR strategy, I don't have to again pay you again for my bandwidth cost. Think about it, right? And it's cheaper on top of my storage. Best part is, if something happens to my DR, I mean my primary site, I can just bring it from cloud anytime I want, from Azure, because I exactly know how it is. And there is, you decide the retention policy, I'm not going to decide. We will store it. 12 cents per GB per year, I mean, I think it's like peanuts. Give it off. I mean, buy a tape, you'll know it what it is. And the equipment that you put on in front of it. And then you monitor that, and then you do a FedEx to some other site. Think about all that. I mean, like, that's your strategy. Copy only, take a backup, and then if you want to restore it from the cloud itself, you can do that. You can restore it from a URL. If it's SQL, I can tell you that. Restore from a URL is nothing but you point to a blob storage, and if you have a backup there, either a DAC pack or you have a .bak file, I can just point my SQL server there and say that, just restore it from there. Both on-premise and on the cloud. I can do both. And that's a cool strategy that you can always have. So all you are doing is just building VMs as you want. And what you could also do is that, just like how do you do auto-scale, you already pre-create the engine and keep it, shut it down, deallocate it there so that you're only paying for the storage. Whenever you need to do your testing cycle comes in, you just boot it up. As part of your startup script, you have a schedule job that will actually fundamentally go and pick it up from the URL, restore it, bring it up online. So that your testing process can just be in an automated phase.
It would be only one backup and restore as many machines as.
Exactly. You could do it.
That's the best way.
That's the best way that you would do it.
Yeah. So let me just, because we have run out of time. So how do you store the data? So the question that you should ask is basically what kind of data it is. So what is structured data? SQL, relational type, right? Or something else. Unstructured data, what is unstructured data? Flat files. Files, okay, that is a different kind of a thing.
Logs, image.
Any other unstructured data? Documents or something like that, okay. And then the other question that you want to ask is, what will be the data used for? Fast lookup or fuzzy kind of search? Why does it matter? It all matters because how many people do something percentage like, equal to percentage like in SQL or any other database? All of us? Yeah? All of us should follow what HiFX is doing. Did you see what the solution they had developed? What did they develop? Yeah, so that document thing, yes. So what did they do? They store some documents and they allow...
Big laundry of documents that
comes in
their,
yes,
SOP.
Yeah.
And what they do is they allow them to, you know, do that
modification,
plumbing of documents on the
plumbing on the documentation fly, and they do search also, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if you do a search in SQL, MySQL, Postgres, Oracle, like, what happens there? No index is used. It will not scale to a very large database, so what should you use? So what is the product they were using? Must be a MongoDB.
Yeah.
See, they have to maintain that, isn't it? They are not using MongoDB. That's why they are here. Yeah. DocumentDB, does it allow fuzzy search? No. So this is what they did. They're basic. Azure Docs? What, sorry?
Azure Docs.
Okay, that's a new product. Okay.
Good idea.
So what they did, because we are running out of time. So what they did is basically, Lucene, yeah. Something Lucene, yeah. Some inverted index they're doing, yes. So no, wait, I think we are almost there, so let me make it simple.
Elasticsearch.
You're almost there. He still does not want to maintain Elasticsearch though. So what? Yeah, so let me answer.
Indexer?
Some indexer is there.
Media indexer?
Not that one. Not that what?
Okay.
So first thing, what do they store? All this is unstructured data. They basically used something called as DocumentDB. They found out basically DocumentDB doesn't do the search the way they want. So they use Azure Search, which is based on Elasticsearch.
Okay.
So anytime. So let me answer. So anytime. Huh? Which is based on Lucene. Yeah, that's why I said we are progressing in the right direction. Lucene we have been working with for 2006 onwards. So, but only now we can talk very openly about it. But most of the customers, we have been working. So it's not a so both the products are good, but Azure Search is what you should use. Anytime there is a lookup, by fuzzy lookup, what does that mean? Anytime in your query you are doing a like, offload that query to Azure Search. Do not use that regular data. Then your question would be, my new data is coming, how do I keep on syncing? So there in Azure now there is an indexer feature, which will keep on pulling the data. They were far ahead of that. When they started working, we did not have that feature. They wrote their own indexer. So they find out by timestamp and push the stuff onto this side. So use that. Lookup. There is one more lookup there. You just dump data, and I'm sure he talked about it. He talked about caching it somewhere. Did he say? I'm sure he did that. What kind of lookup options are available
data.
In? Sorry?
Master data.
What? Sure, master data. Great.
Okay.
What else? What else?
Using the partition keys.
But what are the master? What are the data has to be cached up?
What are the caching solutions?
What are the caching solutions on Azure?
Yes, on Azure.
Redis cache. Yes.
Okay.
Redis cache, just don't use it. Redis cache is very, very powerful. So basically, anytime you need to store data on Azure, where it's master data, which comes in a drop-down, which comes as a basically your own objects that you don't want to hit again database for, put them again in Redis cache. Actually, it is far more powerful than what you can just that. You can do something called assorted sets. What does that mean? So about 5 years ago, we worked with a customer who basically, what he does is basically a bunch of students, they gather on a particular point of time in a day, and they bid on the subjects they want to attend. This is actually happens in India itself. So what they need to do is, every time they need to get a sorted information about who is the top bidder at any given point of time. What is the data structure you would use? Would you write in a database while people are bidding every time and do a order by? That will become, because there are, even though there are 600 people, all of them will be doing who is the next leader. That will kill it. You use sorted sets in Redis, which is a very cool feature. Redis sorted sets. So Redis has got lot of good stuff. You should explore it more than what we expose and use that. There is one small thing that I mentioned, fuzzy lookup, where you can decide, I did not see, I ate up, but you want to basically push the ranking of results. Basically all those search solutions, they have ability to influence the how the results have been pushed back. What do I mean by that? In SQL Server, when I execute a query, the results that you get, they are in order of
either primary key
or your
first
cluster index or order by. You have to give a specific order by, right?
If you don't give, then it uses
primary key. Now,
let's be clear about this. You will not get it in the same order of the clustered key. You need not have to get in the order of the clustered key just because of parallelism can actually give you a different ordered set. So please let's be clear, unless and otherwise specified, as Govind was telling, that you put an order by clause, you will never get it in the same order. Okay, so don't believe that, because if you are a single threaded, then you will get it in the order in which you access pattern is. But if you are not single threaded, but if a parallelism comes in, you will not be in the same order. Okay, so let's all be on the same page.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you want, now you are basically e-commerce company who has got lot of SKUs. When I say SKUs, you are selling, let's say, utensils from 5 of these vendors. And these set of people, basically, they go and search for utensils. If you do a SQL or Oracle or Postgres query, what will happen? What will be the order? If you are tasked with promoting their utensils, there's a lot of inventory, no? We need to push them. So how do you write a query? You would say, order by the guy who is providing us more money. But that can change every few minutes, no? What do we do?
It's ranked.
So how do you rank it? So it is a problem, isn't it? It's a problem. So what most of the search solutions provide is, tell me when I should display results, whom should I give more weightage? So you basically create you basically create a profile where you say, these are the five guys. In my top 10, only two from their results should come, which a regular database will not do.
Okay.
Yeah? This thing you can use pretty much everywhere. Why would you use this? In your business, in your basically intranet also, if you look up for a bunch of documents, and you know, for whenever a person looks for CFO closing report for this quarter, there is a lot of closing reports from us, from customers, from this thing. There should be something that you want to promote, which is, this is the closing report, that should always come on top. So that's why you see on Google, Bing, blah, 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 all the search engines, there is something, the why, who is most closest, there's a ranking result for that. So you can influence that. So use that. Now the final thing is, structured data, you know what to use? Any database, R database preferably, SQL Azure, or SQL Server on this thing, but you can use anything. So we have worked with customers right from running Sybase, Oracle's, MySQL, Postgres, pretty much anything that you can think of, and right down to basically Mongo's and Cassandra's. Cassandra. Everything works, whether structured or unstructured, because both of them can do a bunch of things.
See, one thing that I want to just reiterate what Govind's telling, it's a choice that you have, but are we capitalizing the platform's capability? Okay. In the sense, both, there are two platforms that you're talking about Azure as a platform and the choice of technology that you put on top of it. So am I, like for example, in the Redis case, am I using the core capability of the Redis platform? Unless I do that, then I'm not going to maximize my investment on it. Like a classic example that he said, the leaderboard is a very classic scenario of using a Redis, because it helps me in a lot of ways. It takes away a lot of things that I'm actually doing today manually, and then my performance bottlenecks are going away. Okay, today a lot of people in the bidding system and other things, they want this capability.
They're so very massive system. Massive systems built on Redis.
Exactly. And you need to understand that, am I using that? If you have to use a core competency or a capability of the platform, then make that choice. And saying that, always, whenever you come to us, we're going to ask you this question, why? The reason why we're asking you, have we thought through it? What is your scenario? Did we take the technology choice based on the problem that it solves? Or we took it because it was in the industry that I have. That's the only reason why we're going to ask you this. Okay? So actually we're running out of time.
So one final thing, yes. Last minute. So unstructured data, what is the choice? Right from Mongo, this thing, whatever you want to run, or we will come to Hadoop. But there is one more thing I mentioned for IFX. What was that? DocumentDB. Right from a DocumentDB to a Hadoop on that side. Okay? Hadoop, we ran basically Hortonworks latest Hadoop. You want to run HBase, you want to run Spark. Pretty much everything is supported.
Spark, Storm, everything. You name it.
Storm is also supported.
Yes.
So all those guys are supported. So let's move to the last one.
Yeah, and by the way, if you're really curious, 193 all out, India won by 109 runs.
So you don't have to worry. Yeah.
So get relaxed. Okay? Just relax it out. Okay. Don't worry about it. India.
So we have. Do we have time or last one? We have done.
Actually, with the session, they have already given us a timeout because the keynote is happening. Having said that, we're not going anywhere, so you can still talk to us.
Unless you want to go, that's okay.
You are free to go. You have the freedom.
But we want to finish it. In the
most important thing, your feedbacks are important. Just about give us your feedback. Tell us what you want. What you would like to hear from us in the next Azure conference. All this, tweet it, Facebook it, give it in your feedback forms. I think that will be awesome. Yes, sir.
Can we ask questions?
Yes.
Sir,
having said that, I said that the keynotes are there, but we are here. Okay? So we'll give you the choice. So we have done. Okay? Okay, you can check.
No, there is one more part left actually.
But
we can
keep going as much as you like.
If you want to stay back, we will continue.
Yeah.
If everybody is very key.
Excuse me.
Yeah. MySQL, what are the options? Yes, so I'll take that. Good. So MySQL, Postgres, MariaDB, or n number of things. Yeah. So today, there is a hosted option from a bunch of our partners. One of them partner is basically ClearDB. So ClearDB, basically, where you don't have to do anything, they will do HA and DR and everything. You just buy that and you can use it. Other option is you run MySQL, runs pretty fine, has absolutely no issue. Platform as service. Yeah, but you can do it, and so that means they, just like our SQL Azure, they take care of all the HA, DR and other pieces. Okay, just an interest in just as a side fact, I don't know whether he introduced himself very rightly. Did he talk about his book?
No, they know it.
They know it? Okay.
Yeah.
Basically, we are...
They know.
Okay, so not many people know, so I'll just repeat it. This he wrote two books. One of the books he wrote on was High Availability on the SQL Server, which is the topmost on Amazon and Flipkart
Sometime back.
and he also, the thing is, what we keep joking about, the SQL Server team basically decided to basically move people like us out of the job because a lot of the stuff that he wrote, SQL Server team converted into a tick mark.
A checkbox. I mean, like you want high availability or done.
Complexity reduction. When somebody asked about cost, that's the complexity reduction which happens when you have completely maintained, basically hosted, maintained system. You can still employ people like us, give some jobs so that we can be still alive. And there will be cost. There is always this thing. But majority of the projects will move to maintain system. Sorry?
You were talking about EMIs. I was thinking like EMIs would probably be the third or fourth output.
See, end of the day, one of the things I think is the most important thing that you will have to look at it is build versus buy. That's what a lot of us think about it. I would always suggest that look for solutions that are already in the platform as a service rather than going on infrastructure as a service as much as you can. If you do have something that we are giving you as a platform as a service, I think so go ahead and embrace that with both hands. Because a lot of headaches that like Govind was telling, especially on the scalability will improve. Pricing will only get reduced. So if it's a price of X today, I'm 100% sure 6 months or 1 year down the line it'll be about 20% or 30% less than what you have paid 1 year back. Right? And the scalabilities will keep on increasing. I know that when first time SQL Azure came in it was 10 GB, then it became 50 GB, then it was 150 GB, everybody was scripting. Now it's like 500 GB, now people are asking why not more sort of a thing. This will keep happening. The platform will keep on expanding. Okay, so if you are going to invest your time, your best time is in only two places: solve the business problem, and use the platform, and pay us less. I would. This is the business conversation I have it with everybody. I say that today it looks like this, but I'm saying you'll become a dead duck if you go and buy and put on a server now, because end of life 3 years, 5 years, whatever you want to go to it, or put the depreciation cost. You put a guy like me who's going to do availability on top of it. Create 4 replicas, then you print licensing on top of it and all that. I think so you will pay through your nose and if not anything else. Right? Not viable. So if you have the platform, take it. Because that's the best thing. Like I can just go to SQL Azure and say, not, without doing a tick mark, I have 3 copies. That platform, we are taking the challenge for you. Okay? You put the tick mark, you will get 3 more copies if you want. And if you put another tick mark, you will be geo redundant also. And then now you pick where you want. And the worst part of it is you go build report on top of there. Read scale out. Today you could try to develop it on your on-premise. You need me. Or me or the book, okay, either way, okay. So you got to go ahead and do that. I mean, like, it's tough. I mean, like, it's got quite a lot of science that goes behind it. I think so. That's something that I would give it as a very strong statement. See the platform. If the platform has got the capability, just use it. Blindly. I think so. I mean, somebody in the morning, I think so, a gentleman came and asked that, I want to run exchange on IIS. I said, please don't. Exchange. I said, no. You haven't complete offering O365. Just go there. I mean, just one tick mark. That's it. You name it. I think so. We'll give you 50 GB of space in this thing. You have 500 employees into 50 GB, 2-3 terabytes. You want to go and build disk. You want to build redundancy. You want to do all that and then maintain it. Then find it out. Authentication, authorization. If I fire him, then what happens? Mail. Everything taken away. Pay as you go.
Yeah.
So that's the idea.
So let me just cover the
last part. Last part. Recording, I hope.
So basically, how many of you attended there should be a session of one person called as Deepti, streaming analytics or something. I think some of you attended.
Yeah. Deepti.
So that is Deepti session. So hopefully got. So the thing is, if you have streaming, so what does the streaming analytics mean? So there is one thing we talked about, Event Hub. A lot of stuff is coming. After that, some analytics has to be run. Some of our compete has a solution only for collecting, but then streaming part or analytics part is not there with them. Right now, I'm sure they will come out with whatever other pieces, but at this point of time, this is one differentiating feature for the platform. What this does is basically, Stream Insight, how many people have played around, have heard of? Yeah.
Which version was that? Which version?
2.1, 1.2?
Trying to get on to 2.1.
1.2 was, anyway, that's...
Yeah, that's... Yeah,
1.2 was a disaster. Yeah. Agree with you.
1.2.
No availability.
So basically, what does it do? So you describe what were the use case you were trying to use.
Exactly.
My use case is very simple. I needed an inbuilt monitoring tool to see what the service SLAs and all are.
Sure.
I put it in an inspector in the web API so that I can find out how much time, etc. it is taking so that I can actually raise alerts. as to like if the service level is going down, etc.
Sure.
Yes, you can buy a monitoring tool for that, but
yeah, sure. So that's a great. That's a pretty much. So I think that's a great pattern, okay. And that's what most of the people do. What when they look at streaming analytics, they are trying to see. I can, for some of the queries for analytics, I will wait till the end of the day, maybe 1 hour, where I'll run a regular query on my relational, unrelational stuff, right from Elasticsearch down to a SQL Server. I will get some data out of it, and then I'll decide what to do. But some of the things, as he's rightly said, when a lot of stuff is coming in real time, near real time, I want to find out what is happening. Not what is happening, outliers, because what is happening, there is a lot of stuff happening. Think of that, basically, that wind, the wind turbine, 200 data points are coming. You want to focus on what is the state which contributes to is the windmill running. That is basically power is getting produced. Power is getting produced because there are 10 components which are, or 100 components which have to be in particular state. So for each of the components, you need to define a good state, an acceptable error rate for acceptable error time. Because you cannot say just because for 3 times that guy did not give me a value, that guy is down. Most probably, there was a water drop which came in, isn't it? So that comes only from experience. So you need to do that. So something similar is required in pretty much every domain. It only depends how do you apply it. So Stream Insight, Stream Insight was basically a .NET library. Did not really need SQL Server for that matter. It could just run by itself. Process, you just throw data, query is running, it will throw out results. What we have done now in the this side of the world, here, streaming analytics, you take data from Kafka, you can take the data from Kafka also, by the way. That's one way where you want to take our Hadoop, and then you basically enable Storm on it, and you can write the similar queries. But you, what you do is take event from the event hub and write SQL queries, which nobody does today. Because the other option is, you take data from Kafka and run Storm, your own Storm, and in Storm, just like regular MapReduce, you have to write jobs in which language?
Piglet.
Java. We all love. I also love. It's a job securing language. But then the problem is that when you want to change the query, where the time was between this and this, you have to go and rewrite that code. Same problem with them. The reason why there are so many SQL abstraction. When I say SQL, SQL, the query language abstractions on Hadoop today. Last time I looked at, pretty much everybody had put as SQL abstraction because 30 years, people like us, have worked on writing, select this from this particular location. I am not going to write a piece of code to find out where what is happening. And same thing we have done. We have provided a SQL abstraction on bunch of events, which was not there in Stream Insight. So we took that whole thing. So there is a bunch of papers if you're interested. Badri Prasad, Narayan Mali, he is one of the key guys in that. He's written very interesting papers. He is, I think, one of the best. He was presented best paper also. So that whole technology has been abstracted here. So it makes your life very easy. You don't have to manage Storm cluster. You don't have to manage writing jobs and everything. You can just submit SQL queries and your job gets running and you start getting output. Okay. Other one is regular DB structure that you know. Use database, use SSRS, use your favorite utilization tool, does not matter to us. Everything you can run. Third is data warehouse. Yes? Was it announced or was it shared?
No.
Nothing is shared.
No.
But can you run SSAS on Azure? Yes, you can run SSAS. Can you run somebody else's, some of our competition's database and their data warehouse on Azure? Yes, you can do that. Can you run, only thing we do not have in the market right now, just in the interest of transparency, we do not have something like I think they talked about it, APS appliance kind of a thing on Azure today. But going forward, hopefully things will change. Okay. Then finally, if we have Hadoop also, hosted Hadoop. Has anybody tried running Hadoop for 50, 20, 30 nodes, 100, hundreds? No, it's very difficult. It's very challenging. So what we provide is basically you tell us the number of nodes, we'll provision it. We also finally added a very cool feature where you can bring down the number of nodes based on your requests. That was missing. There is another way, you can run your own. So we partner with both Hortonworks as well as Hortonworks is preferred partner. Cloudera is the other partner. You can run their stuff also on our stuff. And then there is another hosted offering from a Bangalore-based company called Cubor. These are the guys who basically invented Hive, the query language inside Hadoop, basically, from Facebook. So that is also available on Azure. So there are various ways to query this stuff. We are not talking about UX part of it, because UX, there is much more choice than this. But on the data size platform, ingestion, there is a bunch of things you can do. Storage, bunch of things you can do. Finally, analytics on top of it, you can do a bunch of things. Generally, when people ask us basically where do you store data, you want to store data on the blobs and just create external tables on top of it. That's what you want to do. Okay. And there are people who are running Presto also, which is another of the releases. There are a lot of choices, but it has basically required a lot of time. So we are just telling you a bunch of things that we have worked with. So HD Insight by default supports the Hortonworks latest Sage and Stinger, but you can also run Spark on it. You also support Storm on it. So you can use any of them. Yeah.
Yeah. So we are way out of the time, but doesn't matter. I think so. Thanks for staying this long. Hopefully you got some perspectives. I think so it was much more of an impromptu for the fundamental fact that you have far too many structured performance sessions already. So we wanted to just pick our understanding, revalidate our understanding. I think so. This is more of that, and it's the last session of the evening. Thanks a lot for being at the Azure conference. Give us your feedbacks. Send us a note on Twitter if you're there. I'm Vinokti_SQL or Govind K, which is for Govind. So keep sending us, pinging us. I think so. We are much more of a social animal than you think. You are going to get faster responses on Twitter than on emails. So.
Yeah. Okay, so. That's another way to reach out. The final request is if you are interested to basically have a longer discussion than this, a day or two. So we work part of an MTC. Only thing you need to do to engage us, talk to your account manager, tell that there is an MTC org you want to come down to. You don't have to pay. You have to only travel to Bangalore.
You have to travel to Bangalore just to meet us.
Yes.
We have to come there.
Yes,
and then
definitely.
Come with your, okay.
Yeah.
So end of the day, we are good people. We'll entertain you with food. But most importantly, before you come to us, we're going to ask you what is your problem.
Yes, so we cannot do the generic PPTs. We don't know. We are not a group trainers. We don't do anything. You okay. Tell us a problem. We'll try to solve problem with it.
Exactly.
That's all
tell
we can.
This is my application. This is how I have designed. I want you to
evaluate it. Or
best practices.
Yes.
And are we doing the right thing? And be it Azure, be it on an on-premise, provided you're using Microsoft software somewhere, I think we're ready for it.
Yeah. Other important thing, let us say, the other way to think of it is basically you are facing performance issues.
Exactly.
You are facing .NET, Java, everything, but on Microsoft platform, come to us.
And last year, okay. We will help us, our company. So our
yes.
company has informed us.
Yeah.
So we are ready to meet you.
Come sure, back. Sure, please. Sure, sir. Please, please. So thank you very much again for your time. Hopefully it was useful for you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
MDM,
PS,
Microsoft MDM, yeah.
Which is a dead technology. Don't use.